Into the Fold is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world. Brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the hosts and guests and not of the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, welcome to Into the Fold, a podcast on mental health issues. I'm your host, Ike Evans. Today, we're delighted to bring you episode 112, Mental Health in the Service Industry, COVID's Toll.
When we talk about well-being, for me, it's the person's ability to thrive.
Having their basic needs met, as well as having community and connection.
I think looking at an individual or a community in its entirety.
These are the moments where it's not only about celebrating, but it's about connecting with people and connecting with the community around you.
Well-being is when you are feeling kind of your best, and best, I think, is a moving target.
And supporting one another, continually talking to one another, sharing our resources, a community, that golden thread.
It's not really news anymore that the pandemic has devastated the restaurant industry. As I wrote the script for this episode, I spent some time looking at an Austin American Statesman article with the bleak title, Lost Austin, Iconic Restaurants, Venues, and More That Didn't Make It Out of 2020. The list includes stalwart establishments like Magnolia Cafe, Threadgills, Vulcan Video, and Mother's Cafe. It's a sad testament to everything that COVID has cost us. And a reminder that there's no winding back the clock to normal in store. These places are gone, and in most cases, probably not coming back. For those establishments that have survived, there is still the daily stresses of managing mask and social distancing mandates, dealing with recalcitrant customers, and taking care of one's workforce while keeping the business itself afloat. Entrepreneurship is not just a politician's talking point. The willingness of people to shoulder the risk of starting and running businesses is a community asset and contributes to overall well-being. Every business that goes under is a symptom of how this pandemic erodes our well-being. Our guest, Nicole Cruz, is case manager for Southern Smoke, an organization that provides help and support to food and beverage industry workers. She is here with us to talk about, you know, what it is that this unique and special industry is experiencing, as well as its impact on the people within it. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Great to be here.
So tell us about yourself. How did you come to be working at Southern Smoke, and how would you describe its mission?
So I've been working in the food and beverage industry for over 15 years in Houston. When I was laid off from my position in LA, I was visiting Houston at the time to bring more belongings back to LA. And I was laid off while I was visiting. I asked around to see if I knew anyone was hiring, and I was directed to the Southern Smoke Foundation. Since I was new to LA, I knew that I didn't have quite a sense of community there yet to rely on. And I didn't really know anyone to direct me to some work. So I tried to secure a new job in Houston. So I started asking around, and was directed to Southern Smoke, and here I am today. So Southern Smoke is all built around community, and its slogan says it all: taking care of our own. We're here to help and support our food and beverage industry locally and nationally.
So paint a picture for our listeners, for either yourself or for other, you know, food and beverage workers. How has their day-to-day been changed as a result of the pandemic?
So as someone who's lived in Houston my entire life and has been in the industry for half of it, I spent a lot of my free time supporting locally, whether it was going to neighborhood bar, coffee shop, or restaurant. Since the pandemic, I've truly missed the culture of going out to eat and sharing meals with others. it was the way I really connected with people through food, eating food, trying new food. I think a lot of us in the food and beverage industry are the same way. And since the pandemic, it's been really hard to connect with people when you're getting your meals just to go and we can't gather in large group to celebrate food.
One of the things that I've always gathered is that there's now this additional emotional labor that's needing to be done where people have to put a brave smile on. You know, I mean, even more than restaurant workers had to do already, you know, just to try to continue to convey that, you know, that sense that you're talking about as much as possible.
Yeah, it's really hard right now, even for people to just, I don't want to say fake a smile, but just trying to be present without worrying about contracting COVID or spreading it.
Everyone is struggling right now. Are there particular threats to wellness that are unique to folks in your industry?
Oh, yeah. I think many have a constant fear and anxiety of, like I said, either contracting or spreading COVID when they're on the front lines working. I know many that feel this, especially ones that are immunocompromised or who are living with someone who is immunocompromised. Working day to day like that with that fear and anxiety does take a mental toll on everyone.
So you mentioned, you know, those who are on the front lines, and since the pandemic struck, you know, one thing that has become a regular reality for those on the front lines is trying to ensure compliance, you know, with mask mandates and social distancing. What has been your experience with that? Or as what about others' experience? Have you heard about or has been brought to your attention?
Yeah, it's difficult. No one likes to confront people about these things, especially when in the media you see videos of people getting physical. I have a friend who had hot coffee thrown at them because a customer would not comply and wear a mask. It is very scary right now.
And maybe if you could elaborate just a little bit on, like, whatever it is that you're willing to share, like any just sort of like personal stories of situations that you know, that restaurant workers have found themselves dealing with. I mean, as it is, most people don't think much about, you know, what goes on at the back of the house, you know, within any restaurant, but maybe something that sort of, you know, paints a picture of how many new and different things restaurant workers have to do just to be able to keep the lights on these days.
Honestly, I think a lot of people have had to do a complete lifestyle change if they wanted to continue to work in the industry they want to work in. I mean that in a way where we can't all really go out anymore and eat with our friends and drink with our friends. Normally at the end of a shift, people would go out for a drink and whatnot. And we can't really do that anymore. And then in restaurants, we are having to like get tested every week or every other week. We have to be really careful with who we're around and who we're with. There are people who are working in the restaurants who are immunocompromised or live with someone who is immunocompromised. And sometimes there are people that don't have health insurance. And if they do get sick, they won't have the money to cover costs for, let's say, if they had to go to the hospital or see a doctor.
Okay, so one thing that I'm wondering is how the restaurant industry has been a source of strength and resilience in this time, and what can the greater community learn from its example?
So overall, I believe Houston has a very resilient food and beverage industry. when the pandemic first started, there were restaurants that provided no-cost produce boxes and meals every Sunday for hospitality people who lost their jobs. There are other many restaurants that provided free meals on specific days of the week. I think a lot of times in disastrous or challenging moments, our community is really good at thinking and saying, what can I do or what can we do to help? Take Hurricane Harvey, for example. Many establishments in our food and beverage community came together. Some opened up as a donation center while others picked up donations and dropped off food, clothing to wherever it was needed. It was my first true sense of what community was all about and being there for it.
So we're talking about the restaurant industry, but I wonder if you have any other kind of lived mental health experience that maybe, you know, that you'd be willing to share. And particularly, you know, for those who connect with your organization, you know, kind of would make you an ideal person for them to connect with.
Yeah. So, you know, when I joined Southern Smoke, I had no idea what I would be doing. I was just honestly looking for a job to get by. I had no idea that I would be working one-on-one with people who are in crisis, some more than others. On top of case managing, I helped launch our mental health program at Southern Smoke and was also helping people who were seeking mental health help. I was helping people in crisis while I myself was also in crisis with my uncertainty, with not knowing if I'll be able to move back to LA or if I'll move back to Houston. What job will I have? Will I return to the food and beverage industry? There was no job available for me anywhere. I actually started going to therapy during this time to help me through it. And I cannot express how much therapy helped me through that very difficult time.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Okay. So is there anything else about your experience or about your work for Southern Smoke that you feel like, you know, that our listeners might be interested in, or just whatever, you know, whatever is in your heart about this issue that you feel like you'd like to say?
Every food and beverage industry is suffering right now, nationally. If you can, try and get food to go, because if you order directly from the restaurant, you'll be able to directly help them. Be nice to everyone out there. It's really hard right now working out on the front lines, trying to serve people and really just trying to hold it together and be present without worrying that you could contract COVID.
Okay, so the organization is called Southern Smoke. You can go to their website, southernsmoke.org, and find out more about the organization and things that you can do to help. Nicole Cruz, we're so glad that you could, you know, take the time to speak with us about what this important industry is facing, and we really do appreciate it. As I said at the top of the episode, the restaurant industry is going through a lot right now. There is no one account that can fully capture the vast range of experiences, you know, whether it's, you know, harrowing encounters with customers, economic precarity, or the constant threat of illness and everything that entails. But in addition to the interview that you just heard, here are two more accounts from restaurant industry workers that I hope give you a sense of what their reality has been like, what kind of support they need now, and what you should bear in mind, or what we should all bear in mind, you know, for the next time that we dine in, order out, whatever the case may be. So here it is.
Hi, my name is Natalie. I've been in this industry for probably longer than I care to remember. Most recently, I was a bartender / bar manager. And besides, I suppose, all of the uncertainty of, you know, when we all got laid off last March, it was like, how long are we going to be out for? How's, you know, what are we going to do? I think now operationally, the hardest thing for me has been that I depend on people that I kind of have to shepherd into trying to do the right thing when it comes to social distancing and mask wearing and you know, that kind of stuff, trying to be responsible, but trying to tell people who ultimately pay my bills what they can and cannot do. And there's often, and unfortunately, especially if there's a little alcohol involved in it, there could be a backlash, and some people can be really, really nasty. You know, you're just trying to do your job, and it's hard to manage that a lot of the times. And not just for me, but, you know, for bar owners as well. Once it was put on them that they had to regulate this, it just kind of gave people another little weapon. Is like, we don't have to wear masks. And well, if you want to come to this establishment, I'm afraid you do. And you're welcome to go somewhere else if you don't want to do so. But that's really hard to do when you're dependent on these people to pay your bills. You know, I know my bartenders have had a really hard time with that. So it's not like anything we've ever seen before.
Good morning, Ike. My name is Allison Robbins. I am a case manager here with the Southern Smoke Foundation, and I've been working with Southern Smoke for the past year as a case manager. Prior to the pandemic, I was working in the food and beverage industry and had been for about on and off for 17 years. I moved to Houston in January 2020, so I got limited work under my belt before the pandemic started. You asked, everybody's day-to-day has clearly changed. Whether you work in an office setting, you're a teacher and you have your class, you have your students. I think it's been pretty drastic for a lot of people in food and beverage because every single day is different. Every single day you meet many people and you're on your feet all day. It's always go, go, go. And then at the end of the night or at the end of your shift is kind of when you relax. And to go from talking to people, interacting with people every single day to being in an apartment or a home with limited human interaction has definitely been really hard. I personally, because I moved to Houston so recently, I don't know many people. I have family here and they've been my saving grace throughout this whole entire thing. But other than that, I've only met my handful of colleagues. Most of them are virtual throughout the last year. I didn't meet most of my colleagues until I had worked for Southern Smoke for close to a year, actually. So while you have your friends and your family and you can talk to them on the phone and you can Zoom call, your social tendencies, mine specifically, I guess you could say, from being social all the time, I now am kind of more shut in and antisocial. I'd say doing what we're doing as a crisis organization, the stories we hear, I mean, when you work in the food and beverage, especially if you're a bartender, people talk your ear off. You hear a lot of stories. They feel comfortable and confident talking to you about their scenarios. And I guess that's actually a lot of what we do at Southern Smoke is people talk to us. They tell us what's going on. They kind of pour their whole life onto you, depending on their case. I've worked in dive bars. I've worked in 3 Michelin star restaurants. I mean, you name it, I've done it in multiple places. So to kind of have to have your feet on the ground and stuck, it's been interesting. If you work in an office, you see a lot of people, but you see the same people. When you work in food and beverage, you meet somebody new every day, you learn new stories, you make new friends all the time. People come and go constantly. You get your regulars. There's a sense of they always call it your family, but you do. You know that a lot of your colleagues have your back and they will do whatever they need to do to help you out if you're in a bind or something, just anything really. You definitely create a bond, because food and beverage is not for the faint of heart. It's not everybody can do it. People don't realize how taxing it is. And I think that's actually one of the reasons why a lot of us, all of us here at Southern Expo are food and beverage. And, you know, a lot of people are actually very, very resilient. You have to be to open up a restaurant, to run a restaurant. It's one of the hardest businesses to own and operate. It takes all of you. You do not, it's not, people think it's a glamorous thing to be a chef. It is not. It is rough. It is tough. It's dirty. It's intense. You have a lot riding on you, because if you have a few bad reviews or people saying a few bad things, you're done for, essentially. So I think with that, that's why I think our, like, the industry will bounce back, because even though I can't even remember the statistics, the amount of restaurants and small businesses that have closed, they're going to find a way to reopen, because it's their drive, it's their passion, it's their livelihood. And basically you just pick yourself up by the bootstraps and you just keep going, you just keep moving forward. There are opportunities everywhere. I don't know, but I do have faith, and I think we'll be kind of shocked. It's like when you see people go through catastrophic events and then they just all come together and then they do the best they can to keep on moving forward. Yeah.
In other news, we've just released episode 111, Remembering Stephanie Bryan. I feel that I need to give this one a special plug. You know, just speaking of COVID and everything that the pandemic has cost us, I can think of no better example than the recent loss of Stephanie, Hawk Foundation staff member, tireless advocate for mental health, an irreplaceable part of our family. So I hope that, you know, if you're in particular, you know, if you're wanting, I think a fairly deep and detailed account of what a life working in mental health can be like, and how the best of those can touch so many lives. It is definitely worth checking out, and I hope that you do. You can find it wherever you normally find your podcasts, or you can go to the Hawk Foundation website, hogg.utexas.edu, and under the News and Resources section, you can find the landing page for Into the Fold. And you should be able to find a link there. Please give it a listen. And that does it for this episode. We're glad you could join us. Music by Anna Harris. Production assistance by Julia Sufrin and Veronica Rodriguez. A reminder that just as taking care of ourselves enhances our ability to be there for others, so it is as well that when we can be there for others, we enhance our own resilience. Please leave us a review, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, or Spotify, among others. Thank you for joining us.